form of settlement. This is totally ridiculous. This is not a settlement. What this has been a retirement fund for attorneys and consultants, and we need to expose it as such, and only in your conclusions can you address that. Yes, we all want to live off the land. We all want to raise our children. We all want the good things, and non-natives want the same things. But what we have here is something called the land claims. And don't let this thing be fooled and go down the history, because I see the books being written now. I see it coming out about the land claims as the great piece of legislation. Well, what does the legislation really cause? It hasn't caused nothing. You go down to 4th Avenue, and it's the same as it was. These are the examples, but need to go down. What happened to the bottom line? Who's got title to the 44 million acres of subsurface? Who has title to it? You can count it with three oil companies. That's where your conclusions need to come from. You need to go into the corporate structure and find out what happened. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. Thank you very much.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Darlene Smith, and I am from the Chickaloon Village Group. I was born here in Anchorage. These are my cousins over here. Sorry I missed your speech, David. I was listening to what Mr. Ward had to say, and I basically agree with him. However, I'm not as concerned about... I'm really nervous. I'm not as worried about the money as he is and the consultants and the lawyers, because I know where the money is and who those consultants and lawyers are. I found out that you were coming, and I heard about you. And my first question is really, what's going to happen with this information that you're taking statewide from the natives? Because I think, from what I've observed with the outside natives that I have lived with on the reservations, that the land claims is a big farce, and it's just another scheme to take away the land, and they've done it. And not only that, in the process, they've set natives against natives. What's happened even in our own family is, I'm told by some of my friends up north and some of my friends in southeast, family members turned against family members. I don't believe as yet that my brothers and sisters and some of my other cousins are even legally registered with Chickaloon. I don't know if that's come about yet. We're working on it. And this is, you know, to me it's a travesty of what's happened with this whole land claims thing. And I'm sure that I don't know what our fellow natives are saying around the state, but from what I gather, it's pretty much the same. But I'm not involved in native politics. I don't even like the word politics. When I lived with the stateside natives, I lived with the American Indian movement. And believe me, it frightened me what I saw the United States government do in this 20th century to our Native brothers and sisters. And I want the Alaska Native people to know that it's still going on, and we are just a continuation in this whole process, and the land claims is a part of it. And I feel very strongly about it. When I came back from living with the Sioux Indians and a lot of other Native people on the reservation, I decided that I didn't want to be involved in the politics of the land claims. And I've never spoken out. I've barely been involved with our Chickaloon group, although I support my cousins wholeheartedly, because I know that they have worked against insurmountable odds. Number one, who can figure out the land claims as it is written? I believe that there were some lawyers that couldn't figure out the wording. And you can imagine how that must have been for Native people who couldn't read or write or speak English. So to me, what that said was that they were assuming a lot about us as a people, and that it would be easy to take what we have, because what we have is we are the most wealthy landowners on the planet, and they know that, and they, meaning those that are in power, the governments, the oil companies, as Jerry Ward mentioned. And historically, what's happened with a people that's sitting on something worth, to say a lot is to understate it, is what they do is they remove those people, or they put a carrot before the donkey, so to speak. In other words, they take. And in this case, I'm not sure of all the people that are involved, because like I said, I haven't been involved in Native politics and still don't want to be. What I do want is I want to have a voice for my people. And I don't know what this is going to do, but I decided that I have to say something because what I'm observing in the state of Alaska, I work in the field of alcoholism, and right now I work in one of the jails here in town, and I see a lot of Native faces in there, and a lot of the reasons that they're in there has to do with the alcohol. And as I traveled and I lived with the stateside Natives, it's the same story. And this, to me, is one of the ways that you deal with a people who have something that you want, and in this case, I'm assuming the government is involved, as well as the rich and powerful, and that happens to be in this state, the oil companies. What I see, I'm really angry about. I'm really angry, and I don't feel, even to tell you the truth, Mr. Berger, that what I'm saying will have a dent whatsoever. But I have to say it because I'm not going to be, I feel like my cousin. I don't want it said that I never did anything because I care about my people. I care about this land, and I see what's happening to this land. The pollution. It says here, when I read this in the paper, it says come and talk on the land about 1991 subsistence government. I think I made it clear how I feel about the government, and especially the future. And right now, I belong to Cook Inlet Region Incorporated. It means nothing to me. I personally feel what you could almost call hatred for the people who are handling our corporation. And I'll tell you why I feel this way. And I call it hatred because I'm so angry about it. They're sitting in a beautiful glass building up on C Street. And I come to the annual meetings and I see the struggle that my cousins are having here, a struggle just to get our own little village to come and deal with what's happening with this mess that's almost undealable with, if there's such a word. And I see them sitting up there in their beautiful glass building and Mr. Hundorf and all his henchmen. And to me, they're henchmen because I am aware that their salaries are higher than the governor's. And what makes me feel the hatred is when I go in the jail and when I go down Fourth Avenue. And I got some relatives that I see down there, as well as people I know and friends. And I see our young Native people on drugs and alcohol with very little hope about the future because they don't understand this land claims, for one thing, because their elders, we, and I consider my aunts and uncles, I think my aunts got it all figured out. But I know a lot of the elders of all the different Native groups don't understand what the hell this lingo is about, you know. They're talking about money. That's the bottom line, it's the money. And this makes me angry when I see people like Mr. Hundorf, and I wish he was here so I could tell him to his face what I think of him. I remember when my cousins here, I was going to school in the States, my cousins were fighting against the land claims, my sisters and my brothers, and I remember the threats they got. Mr. Ward was speaking the truth. I have a friend from Unalakleet, an Eskimo lady. She's an elderly lady. I just spoke with her, and she told me some devastating news about what's going on now within the corporation. I say devastating, devastating for us, because the whole thing is set up, and they're sitting back, I'm sure, fat cats comfortable, and the rest of the people are trying to figure out what the hell's going on. I myself don't understand all the legalese involved. I don't know all that. My cousins, Mr. Ward, and I'm sure some of you out there that have directly been involved with the politics of this crap know the words. I don't know the words. All I know is what I see is happening to us, has happened to the natives stateside. And let me tell you, none of those treaties that were made with them were kept. And my observation of life on the reservation, actually out here in Alaska, up here, we do still live off the land. And that's being slowly taken away too, if you'll just open up your eyes and take a look around at what's going on with the subsistence. So what, to me, what the land claims and this whole mess is doing is, the whole intent behind it is to put us in a position with all the other peoples in history and presently in the world right now that have something, that are in the way. And to me, I look at it from their point of view, what they're saying to me is, you are in the way. So if you're in the way, what do you do to get you out of the way? Well, they can buy us off, and to me, that's what the land claims was. And then there's genocide. And genocide takes a lot of forms, Mr. Berger. I understand it perfectly. And to me, Jerry Ward asked you the question. I won't ask it as a question. I'll make it as a statement. I feel that the end result of it all is a genocide of a people. And to me, that's frightening, because that's my life, and that's the life of my people. We never said that we owned the land. In fact, I can remember my aunt, and she's the only one left of our elders, say that everything has to be shared, and that's what we were taught. Now, what's going to happen to me, I look at the Alaska Native people, and to me, it's like we're asleep. And I don't say that in a bad way, because I know the reasons why. When I lived with the Natives in the States, and especially the American Indian movement, they were shot at by the government. I remember going on a trip and being surrounded by the FBI, and I was never so scared in my life. I'd never encountered this type of thing before. And it was a bunch of women and children, not armed like they said we were armed. So, to me, I don't look at this as a benign sort of thing. To me, it's serious. It's covered up with a lot of corporation crap. To me, I don't understand corporations. Maybe I should, but I'm not interested in that. And it's making me real mad when I see our people and their state of just day-to-day living. I lived in Kotzebue for a while, and I want to tell you, I remember seeing a house that stuck out like a sore thumb, and it was the most beautiful house that I've ever seen. And around it were just shacks, the people. And I thought, this person was involved in politics. And if he were here, I would tell him. To me, that's a slap in your people's face. And as far as leaders, native leaders, I feel we have none. You can call Willie Hensley a leader, you can, but you don't have my vote. Willie Hensley is not a leader to me. And if he were sitting here, I would tell him. Nor are all the so-called people that are involved in the corporate structure. I do not call them my leader. I don't have a leader. But they're taking slowly but surely. In 1991, they keep telling me, 1991's coming up. What I want to know is, what's going to happen to our people in the long run? What's going to happen to our land? It's being taken away. It's been taken away. It's taken away. And when you talk about a future, it's scary because it's not in our hands. And a politician came up from Washington, I read in the paper, Mr. Clark, who was the newly appointed Secretary of the Interior. And I remember in Anchorage front page, he said, and these aren't the exact words that he said, but he said, there will be no tribal sovereignty in Alaska. And I don't know if you all know it or not, but the Constitution, I think it's a Constitution, guarantees through public law, there's a public law that guarantees you tribal sovereignty. When I say the Alaska natives are asleep, I hope they don't wake up too late to realize that what they have. And through people like Mr. Ward was mentioning, I don't know all of them, but the people in the corporate structure that have taken and taken and taken, they've not told you what powers that you do have. It seems to me like we have a mentality of subjugation, and I don't like it. Otherwise, why would Alaska Natives accept a carrot in front of a, you know? I mean, why would you accept this? And I'm not saying you do, and I hope you didn't. But I never accepted, and I want it known. I remember when they sent us the papers that said 1971 Alaska Native Land Claims Act. I sat down with my brother. I've told my cousins this story. They know this story. And we looked it over. And I looked at my brother, was 1 year in law school at the time, and he said, "This is very confusing, sis." And I said, "I don't understand it. But I do understand one thing. I don't believe it is intended to help our people. I think they're trying to steal our land." And I have never changed my mind since that day. And during that time, I have watched the deterioration of a lot of things in our culture, and our people are dying from the alcohol, and lots of money that could be used to be put into this field is not, because they don't care. The end result is 1991, right? What am I going to do with my shares? I don't know. What does it mean that I have 100 shares of stock? A piece of paper that says non-negotiable. I don't know much about corporations, but I do know I never heard that word non-negotiable. And for 20 years, why is that? My small understanding of corporations is that you own stock. And you can sell at any time, right? Am I wrong? I don't know.
Well, that's normally if you have a share in a corporation, a share of stock, you can buy it and sell it, and it's negotiable, freely negotiable. And the shares in the ANGSA corporations are non-negotiable for 20 years. That is, they can't be bought and sold for 20 years. The idea being that will ensure that the only shareholders until 1992 will be Native people.
Oh, that was clever.
After that, they can go on the market and
sell it anyway. They're just delaying the date is what they're doing, right?
Well, that's what they, that's exactly what they were said they were doing. That's what they did.
Yeah.
Delayed the date for 20 years.
But the end result will be the same.
Well, David Harrison said that if the assets of the Chickaloon Corporation were divided, I think he put it that way, that the land was divided among the people there, that with taxation and one thing and another, they would lose half of it within a year. And I think that history does show us that once those shares go on the market, there will be an inevitable flow of native corporate land from the native sector into the non-native sector. I think everybody agrees that that's what will happen.
Mm-hmm. So there you have it. Well, I don't have much more to say because I think we're all saying the same thing. I got angry with the natives. I got angry with the people behind this. Angry at the natives because... And then I thought, no, it's hard to understand this. I don't understand it completely yet, but what I do know is that they've just about accomplished what they set out to accomplish. And now I want to know is, what good is all this going to do? What is going to happen to the future of the Native people in Alaska? You hear that and you hear that.
Okay, well maybe I should say something about that because it's a good question. You know, why are we here? What good will all this do? Here we are spending Thursday morning. Is this Thursday?
Yes.
Thursday morning here. Mm-hmm. Well, I said earlier, and I think most of you know, but I was asked by the Inuit Circumpolar Conference to come to Alaska and to travel around the state and hold hearings and see what Alaska Natives and other people, non-Native people, thought about ANCSA, how it had worked out. What about the corporations? What about jobs? What about dividends? This was what Congress had in mind. This was the prospect they held out. Well, what happened? $962.5 million, all these instant Native millionaires, where are they? And so I've been traveling around the state, and I've just about finished my travels. I started a year ago, and we've been to 55 villages and towns and heard from more than 1,250 Native people and some non-Natives as well. And there's widespread unhappiness with ANCSA, intense dissatisfaction, and many people feel cheated. Because, of course, they say, this was a settlement, wasn't it? It's called the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. Well, that's supposed to settle everything, isn't it? But nothing settled, it turns out. This is their complaint. And they say, you mean that if our corporation goes bankrupt, we lose our land? If our corporations are taken over in 1992, we lose our land? If in the 1990s the state runs out of money and wants to tax native corporate land in rural Alaska, we'll lose it that way too. And the answer to all of that is yes. So what's to be done? Now, I'm going to write a report, and that report will go to the Inuit Circumpolar Conference and the World Council of Indigenous People, both of which sponsor this commission. They will be submitting it to the United Nations, but it has been agreed that it will be made public and will be sent to every village corporation, every tribal council, or every regional corporation, every regional nonprofit, and as well, I will be sending it to everybody who has testified at these hearings. So in September, when it comes in the mail, you'll know what it is. Now, Mr. Ward said it would be a foot and a half thick. Well, I can tell you it won't be. And there's a reason for that. If it's a foot and a half thick, nobody's going to read it. Because you said you were in the legislature, you know when you got a foot and a half thick report, you didn't read it. Nobody does. So this will be a report that will reflect what people have told me all over Alaska. And it will be written so that all of us in this room can read it and understand it. And that's my job, and then it's, as far as I'm concerned, it'll be up to you. If you want to submit it to Congress and say to them, look, here's somebody who spent a year traveling in the bush, even came back to Anchorage to hold a hearing for 2 days, and this is what we told him, and this is what he said, now that's the program. Now, at that point, it's up to you. I certainly can't make any promises. Maybe when I've completed this work and written my report, it'll be ignored. I don't know. That's why I'm saying that I will do my best to tell your story. Not yours, but this everybody. Story. And then it's up to you. So that's why I'm here today. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's why we're all here.
Yeah. Well, then I just have one thing to say to our people. Everybody has a voice. I'm not a speaker, and I have seen a lot accomplished with a small handful of people. It doesn't take a big corporation, director, or whatever you call that turkey, and his lawyers, henchmen, to tell you what to do. I'm not waiting around for Mr. Hoondorf and his crooks.
Well, just a moment. I don't think that personal attacks get us anywhere. And
I will express this as my feeling.
Well, I don't want those kinds of allegations made against people. You can talk about the way things are organized and administered, but
don't tell the truth, right? That's my feeling. I'm not changing my opinion or my feelings because I've seen my family firsthand. Too much has happened, tragedy-wise. Too much has happened, and it's a sham on our people. I can't think of a word that's bad enough to describe the little checks that they send out. I don't care about those checks. Why don't they just keep those checks? Why do they even send them out? It's a slap in the face when you have a corporate so-called leader I don't feel that Mr. Hoondorf, maybe I shouldn't say that about him. I don't feel he's the real person behind it. I think that there's someone more powerful than him behind it. So, but that was his choice. And he does say he's native. And he does say that he wants to work for the people. Now, when you say lies, sorry, He put himself in that position. But it's not right that the Native people have to suffer because of it. If they set up an act and they're going to put it to work, then put it to work. If you're going to give people money, give it to them. Don't give them $125 every 4 months. And my husband belongs to a different corporation. He only gets one check a year.
Well, you know, a lot of them don't get any.
Yeah. So
I mean, zero.
Zero. Nothing. Right. So my point is, I don't even care about it. I don't want the corporation. What I'm concerned about is that everybody be able to live on this land, because like I said, we didn't say it was ours. But to have that freedom and not to have somebody come in and say, you can't hunt and fish here, you can't do what you always did. And this is what I see a lot of. And I guess that's about it. I think it's up to us in the end. You can't go to people and say, help us. We survived a long time. And yes, it is important to know their language. But when the language is a cover-up to steal, then it's time for the people to speak out in your own language, straightforward and honest. And I'm sorry if what I said about those people in my corporation offended you. I don't change my mind. And most of our people know it anyway. They're just afraid to speak out. And that's the way we are. We're afraid to speak out. Not only because we're shy and we don't have the right words, but for fear. And that's why I haven't spoken out on anything but in private to my cousins and to certain people that I trust. This is the first that I've done. I think I'll leave now and give somebody else a chance. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have one more question, and that was, I was wondering, what do you think the international implications are on the number one country in the leader of civil rights when they oppress a people in their own backyard?
Well, I come from Canada, so I guess when you refer to the number one country, you mean the United States. I think that there are a lot of folks all over the United States and in Alaska who are concerned about the relations between the United States and the Native Americans and Alaska Natives. And there's been a lot of non-Native people who have testified at these hearings concerned that if something's gone badly wrong with ANCSA, well, then something should be done about it. And that's in keeping with the best traditions of the United States. It's a tradition of respect for minority rights and for indigenous peoples. In fact, I can tell you that because we've had people come to Anchorage to testify at these, to the commission, and they've come from many countries, Native people from many countries, and they all, just about all of them, rely on the doctrines developed in the United States relating to Native self-determination and Native government and Aboriginal title that were developed in the United States. So I think that if you are saying that you want to remind the United States of its historic tradition of acknowledging in the Constitution and in the law, though not always in fact, the rights of minorities and especially the Native peoples, you have every right to do that. No question about it.
Yeah, I mean, I was wondering, what do you, you're from another country, what are the international political things? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Not just on the nationwide, I mean international, I mean throughout the world. What do you think is going to happen the next time the Soviet Union invades another country and the number one fighter for civil rights steps in, the USA? What are they going to think then? Are they going to be oppressed like they have other indigenous people? Do you think there's going to be anything in that lines?
Well, there are indigenous people in the Soviet Union too, and in fact there are Eskimo people who are related by blood to the Eskimo people of Alaska, and I think that all of us would like to see the Western countries strengthening their in the strongest moral position to condemn violations of international law by the Soviet Union or anybody else. And of course, if you treat your own minorities fairly, then that does strengthen your moral claim to condemn what other countries do. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Maybe I could also add that there is a worldwide movement by indigenous peoples in many, many countries for self-determination and for a land base. And in fact, that movement is becoming so widespread that Pope John Paul II, when he visited Canada last fall, spoke to the native peoples of Canada and said native peoples are entitled to take their rightful place among the peoples of the earth. He said, you are entitled to self-determination. He said, you are entitled to a land base. And this was said just in September last year by a man who speaks for the moral conscience of millions and millions of people. So I think there's a lot of things happening, not just in Alaska, but other places too.
The other thing, I don't think a lot of people understand that when they say self-determination, that is sovereignty. You can look it up in a dictionary.
Yeah. Well, the doctrine of native sovereignty was developed in the United States in the 19th century. And when people in other countries talk about native sovereignty, they got the idea from the United States. Right. Just before you begin, sir, I know that many people are angry, and I can tell you that there's even more anger in some of those little villages that I've been to and far away from Anchorage. But the rule I've followed throughout is that, and I understand the depth of feeling, but the rule I've followed throughout is that it doesn't get us anywhere for there to be personal attacks on anybody on any side of this particular issue, and that's why I intervened a minute ago, and I will instruct the typist preparing the transcript to delete any references to crooks and henchmen. And I've done that throughout, so it's not just something I decided to do here. Yes, sir.
Your Honor, my name is Ralph Emmerich. I'm from here in Anchorage. I would like to speak to the thing that I believe that has kept our people alive for the many thousands of years, and I would like to start out with a prayer. God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those that would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Your Honor, I think that within Alaska and all the indigenous people that everybody has been speaking to, we forget where the source of our power comes from. And we make money, people, land, our God, which is not where the source comes from. For thousands of years, the Alaska Native people, the American Indians, have lived in peace and in harmony with themselves and with others. It is only we as individuals that break from that tradition. I've heard for many years of the way that Christianity has taken away from the spirituality of the Alaska Native people. That's not true. We allowed them to take it from us. And if we have it, we don't have to give it. We look at some of the things that has happened over the years and the understanding of the gift that we've had, the gift that has kept us together, is our spirit, our love. But we lose that when we go into terms of fighting. All fighters lose, eventually. No one wins when they fight. We give blessings, and this has been taught to me for a number of years. We give blessings, and through those blessings, we receive. We've forgotten that. We're fighting now about 1991. That's going to be a loser. Everyone says it is. And I believe that, because there is a fight there. If we give from within, our spirit, you know, we've separated our spirit from us. We've gone to the ego. We've gone to the place to where we think that we want our heaven here on earth. We want to feel good about ourselves. And that, we do that for a while. We feel good, we're happy, and then we turn around and we look for something else to make us happy. But we forgot where that happiness comes from in the beginning. These are the things that have kept our people together for thousands of years. We live in a land where it's cold. The warmth that provides us, our families, ourselves, comes from the love. How many of us in this room prayed today? How many of us have given thanks? Not even 1% of the people that are here. And we say that we want, but we don't ask. Ask and ye shall receive. But we don't do that. In the house of my Father, there are many rooms, many mansions. We haven't even stepped inside the door of one of those rooms. And the one that we're in, we pollute. We have forgotten what our grandfathers have taught us. We have forgotten what the Spirit is. We've made the land's claims our God. We have made money our God. We have made people our God. There are no other gods but me. The gift that will keep us together is the gift of the source. And that source is the Spirit. We have planted a seed of anger. We've planted the seed of hatred. We have planted the seed of guilt. And those things grow. How many of you have planted the seed of love, the seed of prayer? That too will grow if you will plant that seed. Where I'm coming from right now is what have been taught to me over the ages. It's the thing that have given us hope, and I do it through faith. I'm going to see my people stay together. And I'm not going to fight, because when they see the good, things will come. I've worked in the field of alcoholism. There are many people here that stated that they did. I was one of the originators of the National Indian Board on Alcoholism and Drug Abuse. I formed the Alaska Native Commission on Alcoholism. I was the first recognized counselor, educated counselor in alcoholism in Alaska. I trained the first 6 Alaska Native alcoholism counselors. Presently, there is an Amawak Center up in Mountain View. When we talk about we want to help our people, give of yourself. Do you know the rewards that I've gotten from that is fantastic? I know people all over the state. I receive a lot from them. Because I've not forgotten what my grandfathers have told me. Give out of love, and you shall receive. I think that with the Alaska Native Lands Claims, the settlement,